Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
Okay, so it's all homecoming where we're at, and unfortunately that didn't go so well in Mississippi, where 4 were killed and at least 20 were hurt. That's hundreds of shots. Damn, imagine that. 4 people were killed and at least 20 others were injured with hundreds of shots.
Remember when I told you the rest?
Erupted in the wake of a Mississippi homecoming football game.
I didn't even see the picture before, but I guessed it.
Officials said the shooting occurred around midnight Friday on Main Street in Leland, Mayor John Lee told the Post. We solicit prayers for our community from people across the world. We don't need to know that. We're not a city of high crime. It's very, very low crime here. Everybody knows everybody. We all get along and we're all just devastated by this event. No suspects have been identified and taken into custody. 4 of the wounded were airlifted to nearby hospitals, including Baptist Medical Center in Jackson, though officials could not disclose the status of their injuries. All the victims are adults, including several who were recent graduates of Leland High School and returned to celebrate the school's homecoming football game. The annual event draws, we know that. The year's party had been picture-perfect and showed no indication that violence was to come.
Until the people from the other side of the track came.
We left there believing we checked this one off for the books. Well, I guess that didn't happen. Let's see. Head of Nobel Peace Prize tries to justify not honoring Trump with a reward.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, I'll be damned.
He's about the... create peace in the Middle East, and they didn't want to give him an award.
Trump rages at bombshell report alleging that FBI had agents in crowd during Capitol riot. President Trump raged Saturday at the bombshell report alleging that the FBI had 274 plain clothes in the crowd on January 6, 2021.
Agitators.
Yeah. Declaring that the bureau... Well, even, even John Schaefer was saying that, you know, in the interview, it's like, we started hearing, like, explosions on the stairs. And we're like, we're not here for that. What's going on? What are they doing? And he said that something in him told him, he said, maybe I should go back downstairs. Maybe I should leave. Right? But it was too late because it was in the moment. Everything was happening so fast. But he knew that something wasn't right. And that seems to be exactly what's going on here. Declaring that the borough's former director, Christopher Wray, has some major explaining to do. The FBI had privately acknowledged the existence of those agents, despite a Justice Department Inspector General report denying that they were there, according to a Blaze report on Thursday. However, the FBI clarified after Trump's post that not all of them were at the Capitol when the riot began. It was just revealed that the FBI had secretly placed, against all rules, regulations, protocols, and standards, by the way, 274 FBI agents into the crowd just prior to and during the January 6th hoax, Trump wrote on Truth Social. And he was pissed. He says, it was just revealed that the FBI had secretly placed against all rules, regulations, protocols, and standards. That's true, because as the president, he should have known about something like that.
Yeah.
Agents into the crowd just prior to and during the January 6th hoax. This is different from what Director Christopher Wray stated over and over again. That's right, as it now turns out, FBI agents were at and in the January 6th protests, probably acting as agitators and insurrectionists, but certainly not as law enforcement officials. I want to know who each and every one of these so-called agents are and what they were up to on that now historic day. Many great American patriots were made to pay a very big price for the love of their country. I owe this investigation of dirty cops and crooked politicians to them. Christopher Wray, the then director of the FBI, has some major explaining to do. That's 2 in a row. Comey and Wray, we got caught lying with our country at stake. We can't never let this happen to America again.
Yep.
This is different from what Director Christopher Wray stated. We talked about that. The report did not make it fully clear if all those 274 plainclothes agents were supposedly in the crowd that ransacked the Capitol that day or if they were in other crowds engaging in protest activity. Following Trump's Truth Social post, FBI Director Kash Patel clarified that many of those agents had been sent into the field after the riot began. Agents were sent into a crowd control mission after the riot was declared by Metro Police. something that goes against FBI standards, Patel told Fox News. This was a failure of a corrupt leadership that lied to Congress and to the American people about what really happened. Thanks to agents coming forward, we are now uncovering the truth. We are fully committed to transparency and justice, and accountability continues with this FBI. The official Justice Department watchdog report released a report last year about the Capitol riot, claiming, "We found no evidence in the materials we reviewed or the testimony we received or suggesting that the FBI had undercover employees in the various protest crowds or at the Capitol on January 6th. However, the same report noted that the FBI had 26 confidential human sources in the January 6, 2021 crowd. That includes four who entered the building despite not being authorized to do so. Earlier this month, the GOP-led House voted to form a new subcommittee to investigate the January 6, 2021 Capitol riot. With that many paid informants being in the crowd, we want to know how many were in the crowd, how many were in the building, and I also want to know were they paid to inform or instigate." It's true.
Yeah.
If you're asking if the violence at the Capitol was part of some operation orchestrated by FBI sources or agents, the answer is no, says FBI Director Christopher Wray in July of last
the
year.
The one who's under threat of...
On Thursday, Wray's predecessor, James Comey, was indicated on accusations of making a false statement to Congress. The charges stem from Comey denying to Congress that he authorized a leak to the media about the existence of FBI investigation into Trump and a second one into Clinton. The incitement was handed down days before the statute of limitations in the matter was to expire. Earlier this year, Trump issued a mass pardon of rioters who have been convicted on charges related to the storming of a Capitol. Many great American... Well, he talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
As the size of government increased, more and more power and lawmaking authority were forfeited by Congress and accrued in the hands of unelected government workers. That shadow government accumulated more and more power, and many of those in charge began to feel they had the right to dictate policy. They hated Trump. And they hate at least 50% of the American people who oppose them. At today's age of instant communication, it is becoming increasingly complex for them to maintain control. I'm no conspiracy theorist, but it's clear to see that the government, i.e., the bureaucrats, etc., and even politicians, had way too much power. And truthfully, there was always some event or outcry only meant to create chaos. All it seems that they wanted was to lie to us and keep us guessing and mostly divided. To me, it was completely purposeful.
Yep.
Yeah, next step. We need to know the identity of each and every one of the 274 FBI agents. They each need to be asked in front of a congressional committee for what purpose they were assigned to the event, what were they actually doing at the event, what actions did they take when the event turned into a riot. Furthermore, former Director Wray needs to answer why he lied about it.
Yep.
These are the same agents who moved the barricades, opened the doors, and waved the rioters into the Capitol. The weakest insurrection in the history of insurrection. That's exactly what happened. That's what they did. We've seen the video footage. People weren't storming in there.
No.
You had a disabled person in a wheelchair, and somebody opening the door and letting them in. Just like they were going into a grocery store.
Yeah.
It's absolute fucking ridiculous when you look at the footage.
And especially compared to the Summer of Love where cities were burned.
Yes.
Places were looted, all in the name of a drug addict who overdosed.
Yep. California woman buys 12 billboards advertising own website made in bid to find future husband. The dating world can often lead people to do all kinds of things, but one woman has taken her search for love to new extremes by buying up 12 freaking billboards and advertising a website she set up to search for a future husband. Dating in the 21st century is a completely different prospect, as for most people use apps like Tinder, Hinge, and Bumble, but are the only route to finding a prospective partner. While they dramatically increase the number of people you can romantically match up with, they also come with a myriad of their own issues that have led people to become incredibly frustrated with the current dating landscape. You know that pretty well. Some have found their chances of love functionally eliminated by the dominance of these apps, with one unlucky man sharing how he's only gone on a single date after swiping over 1 million times. Sometimes all it takes is a bit of ingenuity to make an impact and get yourself out there, though. And with the Silicon Valley spirit behind her, that's exactly what 42-year-old Lisa Catalano has done. Lisa has recently gone viral across the internet after purchasing 12 billboards along Highway 101 in California that advertise MarryLisa.com, a website specifically designed to find her husband in the future. While some might think that this is a desperate act for love, Lisa expressed that it's merely the result of frustration with apps alongside it being simply a great way to get your name and face into people's minds. You never quite know who you'll end up attracting. A section on the website explaining why she set up the billboards and the site itself reveals that she mostly ignored romance in her 20s and early 30s in favor of education and career, and a long-term relationship in her late 30s tragically ended after her fiancé passed away with a terminal illness. Lisa feels she's reached the point where a dramatic measure is in order. That would be starting this website, she explains, adding that she's a total catch and we know you'll think so too. Pretty much everything you'd want to know about Lisa is right here on the website as well, starting with an extensive list of facts about the woman herself. She provides her age, her body measurements, job and education status, political leanings, interests, preferences, and even the football team she supports. As we all know, that can be a huge deal breaker for some. Additionally, she reveals what she's looking for in a potential husband, illustrating that he must be on board with a monogamous relationship that leads to marriage and children within the next 2 to 3 years. On top of this, Prince Charming must be college-educated, have a healthy lifestyle, be left-leaning politically, preferably non-religious, and have no criminal record. She's also suggested some preferences that she's willing to be flexible with, too, including the man's age, 35 to 45, his previous marital status, it doesn't say marital, it says martial status, location, and his appearance, although she is still looking for a clean-cut individual with a slim to medium build, no or minimal tattoos, piercings. If that's still not enough, you can read the 12 different endorsements anonymously submitted by her family and friends, showing exactly why you should apply to be her husband if you fit the parameters. Once you've fallen in love with Lisa through the website, you can either submit an application for yourself or on behalf of someone else, although it looks a little more like a job application than an expression of romance. Sounds ridiculous. I mean, that's Lisa. This is the girl. 12 billboards to date this woman. 42-year-old Lisa Catalano. Can't be religious. Have to be left-leaning.
Well, then I'm out.
Has to be left-leaning.
I'm out on two counts.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you have to be non-binary. That's the third one. I'm out.
Yep.
I'm out of there.
Millions are at risk after cancer-causing forever chemicals are detected in America's largest water supply. Yep. Well, where is it? In Wisconsin, the warning over the contamination is so broad that it covers an arm of Lake Michigan called Green Bay, equivalent to 1,600 square miles. Wow. Yep. In neighboring Minnesota, residents are also being advised to avoid eating fish caught in 10 counties.
No.
And in Michigan, 98 of the state's 11,000 inland lakes now have warnings in place for people not to eat fish caught from them. It's not clear what caused the contamination, but experts say that PFAS can seep from factories, landfills, and wastewater plants. And of course, we do know the PFAS, the polyfluoroalkyl substances, toxic chemicals linked to thyroid problems and developmental issues. So there you go. Yep. Okay. So, this is an interesting article. Man is accidentally paid 330 times his monthly salary and quits. Then wins legal battle with bosses who tried to get it back. An office worker in Chile quit his job after being paid more than 300 times his monthly salary. Well, I guess I don't have to work anymore.
Ooh, they must want me gone really, really bad. I'm retiring.
Yeah. Then won a court battle when his bosses tried to get the money back. The man, who worked as an assistant at food company Dan Consorcio and Industrial de Alimentos de Chile, usually earned around 500,000 pesos, about 386 euros a month. But in May of 2022, his employer accidentally deposited, listen to this, 165 million pesos, worth about 127,000 euros into his account. Wow, imagine getting a paycheck like that.
I guess down that way, you probably could retire off of that much.
The firm claimed he initially agreed to... I could retire off that much now. The firm claimed he initially...
That's only $200,000.
I know.
That's not...
If you're not gonna, go crazy with it, you'll be fine. If you buy everything in the universe, you won't be fine.
I think you realize how much more life you might have in you.
It's true.
40 years.
But you know what you can do? You can invest a lot of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then you can invest a lot of it. And then you can...
usually risk.
And you can put... Well, no, you don't invest all of it.
There
you invest...
are diverse mutual funds.
Yeah, you do that. And you also have...
you got a diversified portfolio.
If you got businesses, like, side businesses or things that you do, like fun things, you can invest into those. You can make more money doing that because you got more money to play with. So it's always a good idea.
Yeah.
The firm claimed he initially agreed to return the cash during a meeting with HR. However, 3 days later, he handed in his resignation, triggering a legal fight that dragged on for 3 years. Managers accused him of theft, a charge that could have seen him fined and jailed for up to 540 days. But a judge in Santiago dismissed the case, ruling it was not theft, but unauthorized collection, which meant that it was not a crime for the court to prosecute. The company says it remains determined to recover the funds. We will take all possible legal steps, particularly an application for annulment, to have the ruling reviewed, it said in a statement to Diario Financiero. Yep. It comes after another extraordinary salary blunder in Europe. A teacher in Germany remained on full pay for 16 years while on sick leave without anyone in school noticing. Wow. No, we should not return the money. Wow. Okay. Most people are good Samaritans.
Yeah, they're not in the situation, are they? Think get paid. Of course, he knew.
Okay. I'm 44 and have more sex than my 20-year-old daughter. Brutish Gen Z needs to get laid. She puts the triple X in Gen X. Infamous most hated mom, Carla Belushi, told What's the Jam that she and her husband, Gio, are having sex like rabbits, and she's concerned about Gen Z being prude. Gen Zers aren't interested in sex anymore, and I find that really sad, she shared. All they seem to care about is their phones or comparing their lives to someone else's on social media that isn't real. The mom from Hertfordshire, UK, said to her daughter, Tanisha, said that her daughter, Tanisha, is one such Zoomer who plans to move out because she can't stand hearing her mom and dad going at it every night. We're soon going to have a bunch of virgin robots walking our streets, the 44-year-old former model said. She's not wrong. She's not wrong. I think this is going to have a real effect on the world. She's not wrong.
Is that one of the modeling photos?
Yes. Sex is part of the beauty of real life, Belushi added. Stop being so boring. Put your phones down and go get laid.
I'd be fucking like rabbits too.
She said that pleasure is important, and it seems as though younger generations don't know how to flirt or go on dates anymore, and they're not necessarily looking for romance either. Porn is so easily accessible that I suppose they don't need to make an effort to go looking for romantic connection, Belushi said. They can just find a superficial one on their phones or get an AI partner, which I find ridiculous. Well, I just see that as an old person not understanding that times have changed. Belushi and her daughter do talk about sex openly at home, but Tanisha barely ever brings a guy home, and when she does, it's not for long.
It's the difference between having pizza in a school cafeteria and having pizza at a gourmet pizzeria.
I don't know. I think it's going to be different as things go on and technology increases. You're gonna see a big change in society.
Maybe for certain people,
Not for everybody, group. But you're, well, yeah, but more and more people becoming antisocial.
Well, that's...
I can hear when Tanisha brings someone home, and then a few minutes later, she's leaving her room to go to the toilet, the sex-crazed mom of four admitted. It seems like young people these days have such short attention spans. Where's the passion? Tanisha did admit that her generation has embarrassing statistics for sexual activity. I'm not into one-night stands, they're not my kind of vibe, and friends don't really say much about sex, if I'm honest, the 20-year-old said. I agree that our generation is boring, she continued, because social media is constant, people are overly aware of how they look and how it'll play online. This kills authenticity and makes social interactions less raw fun and more performance. She believes that social media may have affected how the younger generations date and meet other people. The generation doesn't even bother to see each other, they just want a phone relationship, Tanisha said. Thank goodness I found someone in person that I'm now pursuing. However, Tanisha does not agree with her mom that sex is dying. A lot of my friends are out shagging and having fun. I'm not just into that. I want a genuine connection, not putting my bits everywhere, she shared. She emphasized that she's happy for her mom, but she's tired of hearing her parents have sex every day.
Man.
I'm constantly having to leave the house and stay with friends because they have so much sex, Tanisha said. I know it's human nature, but I don't want to hear it. It puts me off inviting people over. At night, I put my earphones on or walk the dog. I get that sex is important, but do they have to do it all the time?
Yeah.
If my wife looked like that, I'd be doing
as much as possible.
Belushi has previously made headlines for his strange decisions as a mother. In 2020, she blew $10,000 on herself for Christmas and refused to spend a single penny on her two children. She bragged about using a stocking full of cash for new veneers, Botox, manicures, facials, and brand new duds ahead of Christmas Day, while demanding that her kids make their own money if they want gifts under the tree. She's calling the Scrooge move No Gift COVID Christmas. 2023, she made another Grinch move, saying that she was charging her relatives nearly $200 per person for a family Christmas dinner. I remember that. Because she believes she should be compensated for the burden of preparing a meal for 15 people. She noted that the $200 fee included a complete dinner starring turkey and one glass of champagne. Huh. Any additional alcohol consumed would be have to be BYOB. She also admitted that she'd be pocketing at least some of the money from the holiday feast. When giving away the hot dog hallway, the bun is always welcome. In this case, is the hot dog canyon with plenty of mayo. When the younger folks have less chance of getting STDs, teen pregnancies, and aborting innocent babies, so those are points in their favor. I can't say much else otherwise, but they do have us Gen Xers beat in those statistics. I'll take a hard pass on both of them.
Moist.
Okay. Hold on. Give me a minute, guys. The OnlyFans account is saving endangered species with mating content. To celebrate National Endangered Species Day, the Quick Response Fund for Nature launched an OnlyFans account. Yes, that OnlyFans. But instead of spicy human content, subscribers get Aldabara tortoises going slow and steady. Blue iguanas putting in work, and lemurs doing their best. I like to move it impression. Yeah. Welcome to Only Endangered's conservation with just enough kink to get your attention. The idea came after the team read an article about blue iguanas mating in the Cayman Islands on land protected through a QRFN-supported project. They provided a grant to support the expansion of the Salina Reserve there, so it struck us that the article was a good example of why our work matters. Said Dave Lowe, an advisor with Resolve. By protecting habits like the Salina Reserve, QRFN is not just saving land, recreating the conditions that allow rare and endangered species to survive and reproduce in the wild. The team saw an opportunity to tell that story differently. The aha moment was realizing that these rare glimpses of survival could tell a bigger story. Lowe explained, and maybe if we presented it with a bit of humor and edge, we could reach new audiences. So they leaned all the way in. Only Endangered offers cheeky video and photo content. Only rhinos, anyone? For a few bucks and up, with 100% of proceeds going towards land conservation. Only Endangered uses humor to get people's attention, but the goal is very real, said the manager. Raise awareness and raise funds to protect habitat before it's too late. Their edge is speed. The group funds land acquisitions on a rolling basis, often acting within tight windows to secure territory for at-risk species. We protected 64 sites in 23 countries, over 90,000 acres of critical habitat. That shit is important.
Yep.
But to keep doing that, we need flexible funding, and this campaign is one way we're trying to build more support. Some of the campaign's breakout stars include Headwaters Rain Frogs, called the most cinematic by Fernando, as well as the rhinos putting the horn and horny, and the Aldabra tortoises trying their best to win the race against extinction. We knew it was an unexpected choice, and that's why we went with it, said Carly Vinn, chief program officer. OnlyFans has helped normalize people paying to support content they care about. With Only Endangered, we're asking them to extend that to species that need our help to survive. That's actually kind of cool. I don't have any problems with this. Mother sues developers of games Roblox, Fortnite, and Minecraft. Yeah. In Portland, a Maine mother is suing the developer behind some of the most popular video games for kids. The 83-page lawsuit was filed this week in U.S. District Court. The legal documents claim that makers of the games added features they knew would be addictive without implementing safety features. The most important thing is to hold these manufacturers accountable for their actions, said attorney Brett Dwight Baber. He is representing Casey Henderson, a mother from Somerset County. She is suing Microsoft and the makers of popular video games including Roblox, Fortnite, and Minecraft. The lawsuit claims they're marketed to young children with features they knew would be addictive to maximize time spent and improve the odds of in-game purchases. The lawsuit claims these games have caused 9-year-old diminished social interactions, lack of interest in other hobbies, and withdrawal symptoms such as rage, anger, and physical outbursts. Any attempt to remove the child from their games is met with severe withdrawal symptoms, including anger and refusal to maintain proper hygiene or sleep, the lawsuit also claims. None of the defendants named immediately responded to requests for comment. They've intentionally built these psychological devices into their games to get kids to play it constantly. The more the better, and they profit off of it, and this is a billion-dollar industry with a capital B, Baber said. The lawsuit seeks monetary relief and claims the plaintiff has suffered and continues to suffer injuries and damages exceeding $75,000. Hopefully people realize that teams of hundreds of developers are behind these apps with singular goals of increasing interaction, boosting screen time, and profitability for the company. But to place this responsibility of addiction upon the company is completely dismissing the parental role. You are the parent. You are responsible for teaching your child regardless of the number of temper tantrums they throw.
Yep.
Prosecutor says stalking suspect ambushed Pennsylvania police officers, killing 3. Wow. A suspected stalker armed with a rifle hid inside his ex-girlfriend's home in the rolling farmland of southern Pennsylvania and ambushed police officers who came to arrest them, killing 3 of them in a shootout. 2 other officers were seriously wounded before police shot the suspect to death in a hail of gunfire that capped a 15-hour ordeal. After a trail camera captured an image of the suspect armed with an AR-style rifle, peering through a scope into the house Tuesday night. How the shooting unfolded. The ex-girlfriend and her mother called the police and then fled the house for their safety after officers dispatched Tuesday night were unable to find him there. Police didn't find him at his own home, so arrived back at the house Wednesday afternoon. Using a drone, 6 officers scoured the property, including farm buildings, before they noticed the door to the home was unlocked, even though the ex-girlfriend and her mother had locked it before fleeing. 4 plainclothes detectives from Northern York County Regional Police Department wearing bulletproof vests opened the door and were immediately fired on by the suspect. 24-year-old Matthew James Ruth was carrying an AR-styled rifle with a suppressor, York County District Attorney Tim Barker said. Barker said he believed that Ruth had planned to ambush his ex-girlfriend before the detectives walked in. Wow. Ruth fired numerous rounds, killing 3 of the officers at the door and seriously wounding the 4th, Barker said. A gunfight then ensued between Ruth and 2 officers outside. Ruth wounded a York County Sheriff's deputy before he and another Northern York County regional officer shot the gunman to death by the road, Barker said. Detective Sergeant Cody Becker, Detective Mark Baker, and Detective Isaiah Emmenheiser were killed, he said. Each of these, we don't need to go about them. But they were longtime veterans in the nearly 70 officer force. What happened before the shootout? When the ex-girlfriend's pickup truck mysteriously caught fire one night in August, she suspected Ruth was behind it. but she asked police not to investigate, Barker said. And said she and her mother put the trail camera up and nearly a month later called police and they discovered an image of him wearing camouflage and peering into the house through what Barker called a scope-like device. With misdemeanor warrants for his arrest, police went looking for Ruth. Investigators went to Ruth's home in Hanover, about 10 miles from where the officers were killed, and talked to relatives earlier than Wednesday, Barker said. He wasn't there, so they left to try the ex-girlfriend's home again. Barker said he couldn't immediately say how Ruth got into the ex-girlfriend's house, but he said that Ruth had carefully surveilled the entire residence and outbuilding areas, and even shot and killed the family dog, a black Labrador, after he entered the home. Detectives returned to Hanover after the shooting and left with several bags of potential evidence, neighbor Rose Miller said. She didn't know Ruth well, but remembered him working on Boy Scout fundraisers. Man. That's crazy. All this over an ex-girlfriend.
Yep. Nuts.
Yeah, insane. I'm not going to do that one. Not going to do that one. No. Let's see. Sorry, I got to find another one. There we go.
This is Gary Nevin's classic.
Yeah. Just give me a minute, guys. Let's see. Cop hunting. Sultry penthouse pet accused of wooing love-starved older men online, then robbing them blind. A Porsche-driving penthouse vixen has allegedly been wooing lonely elderly men in L.A.'s posh Malibu neighborhood and burglarizing their homes when she gets inside. Cops have been dying to meet her, too. July 2023, penthouse pet Eva Lavi, 27, better known to Skin Mag fans as Mia Ventura Shoshana, or Shana, has been tied to a rash of high-end burglaries after trolling online dating sites to pick her targets, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department said. Suspect Lavi has been involved in a series of residential burglaries throughout L.A. County, targeting older men posing as a girlfriend or companion on social media dating platforms and applications, the department said on Instagram this week. She is known to drive a black Porsche SUV and a white Mercedes-Benz sedan, cops said.
Sedan. That's how the other side says it.
As the leggy Mia Ventura, Lavi was featured as a 21st century penthouse pet for July 2023 and claims she was the first top Israeli OnlyFans model according to online profiles. And there she is.
I guess Israelis can be criminals.
Raised in Jerusalem, she claims to have served in the Israeli military before taking it all off because you have to. Mesmerizing Mia Ventura worked as a... Yes. As a flight attendant for an in... Yeah, you have to serve in the Israeli
military. I know you had to, but I know she had to take it all off.
Mesmerizing Mia Ventura worked as a flight attendant for an international airline and was a first-class stewardess, her penthouse profile says. The charismatic cutie no longer makes her living in the air, but she loves to travel. Still loves to travel. Her ideal partner is someone with a good sense of humor who's also smart, motivated, and fit. Now the L.A. sheriff said she's added fugitive to her resume. Police did not provide details on the number of burglaries linked to LaVie, who calls herself Queen Mia on Facebook. But they're asking anyone who can help arrange a date for her with the sheriff's department to reach out. She's described as 5'7", about 104 pounds, with brown hair and brown eyes. Residents with information on her whereabouts are asked to call detectives. Or bashful victims can call anonymously at Crime Stoppers.
They will knock her ass out, 104 pounds.
I love it when in the summer I ditch my Yaris and drive my Carrera. I am in 70 in a good shape. The amount of 2-bit gold diggers that wouldn't pay me the slightest attention all of a sudden are very interested. I wouldn't trade a dozen of them for my wife of 48 years. The car was willed to me by a doctor I met fixing his office copier 40 years ago.
But a baker's dozen,
he became my dad I never had. We're both hi-fi enthusiasts. Pro tip, older guys like me. If a 27-year-old penthouse pet tells you that she loves you, sprint the other way. But yeah. Maybe not sprint, but as briskly as you can muster. Oldest trick in the book.
Old this trick in the book. How many penthouse playmates you got hit me up?
No,
the oldest trick in the book. Yeah, maybe the burglarizing part, but penthouse playmates are far and in between.
Your terrible sleep habits are killing your brain faster than you think. Don't I know it? I stayed up to 6 last night. A new study from researchers at Karolinska Institutet found that bad sleep doesn't just leave you groggy, desperately crawling towards your third cup of coffee before noon. It might also be slowly rotting your brain, causing it, and in turn you, to rapidly age. Researchers analyzed MRI scans and sleep data from over 27,000 adults in the UK ages 40 to 70. They found that people with poor sleep habits had brains that looked significantly older than their actual age. The difference was measurable biological aging. The team fed a machine over 1,000 markers from MRI scans to estimate brain age, training it on scans from healthy people. They then ran it against the full participant pool. They found that for every 1-point drop in sleep quality, brain age advanced by about 6 months. The worst sleepers had brains that looked nearly a year older than their bodies. Sleep quality was broken down into 5 factors: how much you sleep, when you snore, whether you suffer from insomnia, your daytime sleepiness, and whether you're a night owl. Being a late night gremlin, getting too little or too much sleep are the biggest red flags for brain aging. I know what you're thinking, it's just a year, who cares? You should, because even minor accelerations of brain aging can quickly snowball into bigger problems like cognitive decline, dementia, and even early death. And of course, the thing fueling it all is the scary buzzword of inflammation. Bad sleep seems to spike inflammatory markers in the body, which can wreak havoc on your brain's blood vessels and cleanup systems. If you stop taking out the trash, what would your apartment look and smell like? It would be pretty rank. Apply that same bludgeon to your brain's natural self-cleaning systems. When those are functioning correctly, you're just left to the budget trash kicking it around your head. It essentially has the same effect as plaque in your heart's arteries, too. It reaches the point where they no longer function, eventually leading to dire consequences. Thankfully, there is good news. Bad sleep is fixable. It's not always easy, but for some, regular bedtimes, reduced screen time, and perhaps a set of blackout curtains and a white noise machine can be effective. Brain aging is inevitable, but how rapidly it accelerates is at least partially under your control. That's rough, guys. As a surprise to nobody, trigger warnings make you more likely to be triggered. Content warnings, the much more politically loaded term trigger warnings, are meant to let people who have experienced some rough stuff in life know what they're getting into before they, say, read a feature article or watch a particularly rough episode of a show. They're just a simple heads up, giving people the chance to opt out so that they don't have to relive a horror that they're not yet ready to relive. A new study found that most people choose not to opt out after reading a trigger warning. In fact, these warnings might actually be attracting more people than they're repelling. According to a new study published in the journal Behavior Therapy and Experimental Psychiatry, researchers found that 90% of people still click on content they had been warned about. They didn't do it because they felt ready to face it, but because they were curious. Oh, there's a trigger warning on this thing. It must be salacious. It must be scary. It must be harrowing. I have to see it. People are moths, and trigger warnings are the flame. Victoria Brigland, the study's lead author and psychologist from Flinders University, calls it the forbidden fruit effect. Essentially, when we're told not to look, we want to look even more. Yeah. Most trigger warnings keep their language vague so as not to be triggering themselves. Phrases like sensitive content ahead and maybe disturbing tend to ramp up people's curiosity. The lack of specifics creates a vacuum that our brains immediately rush to fill with worst-case scenarios, so we then click on the article or turn on that episode with a kind of morbid fascination, all the while wondering, maybe even hoping, that the thing we were warned about lives up to expectations. Here's the even stranger part. Even people with PTSD, anxiety, and depression weren't any more likely to avoid the content than anyone else. Which raises the question, if these warnings aren't protecting the people they're supposedly for, then who are they really for? In a statement about the study's findings released on Flinders University website, Brigland says that trigger warnings might not be overly harmful, but they also might not be helping in the way that we think they are. She doesn't offer solutions or a potential better replacement. Still, Brigland does say that social media companies, and likely society as a whole, should explore more effective interventions that generally support people's well-being. In a sense, trigger warnings, content warnings, whatever you want to call them, feel no different than a movie rating system. It's nice to go into something with a general idea of whether it's appropriate for some audiences. There might be plenty of room for improvement. Still, the core idea is, especially in social media environments, where in one you scroll, you see the funniest thing you'll see all day, and the next scroll, you'll see the most horrifying video you'll see in your entire life. You didn't ask to see that. You didn't want to see that. Probably would have been nice to have been warned about it ahead of time. Probably would have even been better if social media companies or anyone else at this point were better moderating their content. Eh, they can fuck off with that. so it wasn't so much of a Wild West with fresh new hells lurking around every corner.
You can tell who wrote this horse shit.
Yep.
A loser.
Yeah, it's Vice. Come on. Alright. A data center fire in South Korea, sees 858 terabytes of government files and 8 years worth of work stored in the cloud go up in smoke. Second best time to back up your files is right now. With so much of our personal and professional life stored in the cloud, it's easy to forget just how fragile these systems can be. Don't misunderstand. I enjoy the convenience of my important files being accessible from almost everywhere, but I back up the really important stuff at least twice on physical media nowhere near the cloud. A recent data center disaster reminded me exactly why these backups are so important. G Drive, nope, not that one, is a work cloud system used by 125,000 government officials in South Korea. According to the Chosun Daily, the cloud is hosted within the National Information Resources Service in Daejeon. When the data center caught fire at the end of last month, apparently 858 terabytes of important data was lost as no backups were kept. Allegedly, backups simply couldn't be kept due to the G Drive system's massive capacity. But it gets worse. It turns out that before the fire, the Ministry of the Interior and Safety had apparently instructed government employees to store everything in the G-Drive cloud and not in their office PCs. The blaze began on the 26th of September, impacting a total of 647 systems and completely destroying 96 different systems housed within the NIRS. The G-Drive system is the only one that cannot be recovered from backups. Wow. A source within the Ministry of Personnel Management, one of the governmental departments most affected by this data loss, told the Chosun Daily, "It's daunting, as 8 years' worth of work materials have been completely disappeared." Wow. Gone. 6 days after the blaze, only about 10% of the systems affected have been brought back online, and there has been a significant level of disruption as a result. For example, the National Happiness Card used for paying child care fees in South Korea was rendered non-functional for a period of time. However, other key public-facing systems avoided the fire purely by virtue of its hardware being housed on another floor at NIRS. The important thing to remember about cloud data services is that physical hardware is part of the equation somewhere, and that means it can fail. The entire episode is a timely reminder that data loss can happen to anyone, from governmental agencies to even a weirdo like me who glowers at cloud data storage with suspicion and would rather still tote around HDDs like I do. When the best external hard drives are cheap and even the best SSDs for gaming are more affordable now than ever, there's little to no excuse not to keep at least some of your files close. Bottom line, when was the last time you backed up your data, and was it in more than one place? Okay. Best SSD for gaming. I have that. See that one, the top one? I got that.
Yeah?
Yep. Best overall. Ooh, that's my card! Yep, that's my card right there. So I know my card's good. It's the best for gaming right now.
There you go.
Cool. I didn't know that. Oh, that's my card. It's like, I know that card looked familiar. Okay. So, all right. Teacher was so high on cocaine, she thought that one of her students was her dog.
Huh.
Yeah. A Vermont substitute teacher was arrested after allegedly bringing cocaine.
She rubbed his belly to completion.
Bringing cocaine into her classroom and becoming so intoxicated she mistook one of her students as her dog. Melissa Martin, 47, substitute teacher at Bartown Middle.
Let's see what this cocaine looks
just
like.
Just a second. Bartown Middle and Elementary School pleaded not guilty on Thursday to charges of cocaine possession and reckless endangerment after she was caught with cocaine while on the job. Bartown police were called to primary school during the late morning hours of October the 1st after reports of an adult under the influence of drugs, according to Bartown Police Chief William Dodge. When police arrived, Martin allegedly admitted to having cocaine in her jacket pocket. However, a canine search of her classroom turned up more suspected cocaine in both her jacket and backpack. The charges that we have cited her for are possession of cocaine and reckless endangerment based on the fact that she was under the influence while she was in control of the students in her classroom, Dodge said. The seized white powder weighed less than 2.5 grams, according to court documents. One mother, identified only as Brittany, said her 8th grade son was in Martin's class that day and immediately noticed something was wrong. He looked visibly shaken and upset and asked what had happened today, she told NBC5. He said a substitute teacher was clearly on drugs and was acting crazy. Those were his exact words.
She pet him for hours.
According to Brittany's son, Martin had been nodding off during class before suddenly running out of the room. Concerned, he followed her, and that's when things took a bizarre turn. So he followed her, and I guess he found her, and Martin said to him, "Hey, Teddy, why are you off your leash?" And my son was like, "What?" She later learned that Teddy is Martin's dog. The school quickly called 911 after students raised concerns about Martin's behavior.
You know, that's got to be bad for your self-esteem. Someone thinks you're his dog.
He did the right thing, and that's part of the curriculum. If you hear something, you're concerned about something, you say something.
Fucking dog face.
Yep.
That lawyer's over there like,
shit. Look at that lawyer.
Fuck. We're so screwed.
Do we have any other pictures? No, we don't. I was just like, okay, I was wondering if there was more pictures of the lawyer.
Then why did I get this case?
Shit, yeah.
They're gonna break my winning streak.
Canning added that Martin, who had worked as a permanent substitute for about 3 years, admitted to drug use and was fired immediately under the district's zero-tolerance policy. In fact, we completed another background check, and both times this person's background came back clean. Parents, however, have since expressed outrage and disbelief over the incident. A lot of us were just shocked. Just wowed, because we never expected something like this to happen in a school. I was furious. School is supposed to be safe. They're supposed to be able to go to the teachers. Now she was intoxicated and acted funny. How are students supposed to feel safe around her? Martin was released on court conditions, including a prohibition on entering any school grounds. Canning said that despite the disturbing nature of the case, parents should feel confident that their children are safe. The person is not at school now. The parents should feel totally confident that her students are safe. Still, Brittany said she wants to see stronger safeguards in place. Where was the vetting? Why is there not drug testing? Why are we not following up and making sure these adults around our children are safe? The utmost priority should be our children's safety. We wonder why our students are being dumbed down. Who won't the school hire is my question. As a substitute teacher, just about anyone can do that.
Even a cokehead.
The Wizard of Oz is missing its witch.
It's so easy, even a cokehead could do it.
Did you catch that one? The Wizard of Oz is missing its witch.
Yeah, because the nose.
Right.
Yep.
Best rated. If she thought her student was a dog, she's doing more than cocaine.
Yeah.
Melissa, previously known as Matthew. Okay. And we also have this one. Former Lost Prophets frontman Ian Watkins is dead at 48, murdered in prison. Ian Watkins, a convicted pedophile and former vocalist of Lost Prophets, was killed in prison at age 48. Former Lost Prophets frontman Ian Watkins was murdered in prison on October the 10th. The 48-year-old was serving a 35-year, did you spray that? 35-year sentence. Great. Wakefield Prison for multiple child sex offenses, including the attempted rape of a baby.
The rape or murder?
Rape!
Right. Yep, that's bad too.
Multiple child sex offenses. According to the Sun, Watkins was ambushed and fatally stabbed in the neck by another inmate, and they need to lighten his sentence.
And no one's ever been happier.
Yes, who has since been identified. Despite guards responding quickly and Watkins being airlifted to a hospital, he died from blood loss. Prison source described the scene as really shocking and gruesome. The Sun claims a source has come forward.
Really cool and awesome.
The Sun claims a source has come forward and described the attack, sharing, "Watkins had been killed in the most brutal way possible. And the attack was shocking, even by prison standards. Let's clap."
As all pedophiles should be.
Yes. He was targeted by another inmate who shanked him in the neck. Guards were nearby and raced to the scene pretty quickly, but there was nothing they could do and they could not save him. It was a horrific scene with blood everywhere and alarm and sirens going off. Police and ambulances were called and the whole prison was locked down with all cons confined to their cells. Watkins was airlifted to the hospital, but they could not save him. He has been attacked a few times inside Wakefield over the last few years, so perhaps it's just a matter of time. The bloke who got him this time went for his jugular, and it looks like it was a pre-planned attack. Watkins was obviously high profile and in for the most disgusting crimes. Yep. So that meant he was walking around with a target on his back, and this happened.
Yep.
Despite who he was, it was really shocking and gruesome. Experienced officers and a lot of the other prisoners were in absolute shock after what happened, and a lot of them saw the awful scene. The inmate who attacked him used a shank knife, and he was apprehended pretty quickly. There was not much doubt about who had done it. Watkins had previously been attacked in 2023, and three inmates held him hostage for 6 hours, stabbing and beating him before guards intervened. In 2013, Watkins pleaded guilty to 13 child sex offenses at Cardiff Crown Court, with a judge describing his crimes as new depths of depravity. His former bandmates and Lost Prophets abandoned the group following the revelations, calling his actions appalling and admitting that working with him had become a constant, miserable challenge. My God. Well, he's dead now.
Dead.
We can clap. He's dead. The monster is dead.
He got what he got.
He got what he deserved.
Yeah.
All right. Now, I'm not seeing a whole lot here. So,
We
finish everything? We might have. Okay, all right, guys, this is what Roland Card's got. Scratches and the Suffering 1 and 2. Now, these are still really awful fucking PC ports, but they made them a little better. They're still really awful PC ports that are removed, even removed from GOG. I have the GOG versions, but they're still awful PC ports, even then. So, there you go. That's what he added. He might add some more stuff later. But alright, guys, that's freaking all we have. Like, we don't have anything else. We've exhausted every article, I think.
Yeah.
I can't find any more. Like, I don't know. Let me see. Is there anything else here? Books? Just stuff? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but we're not going to mess with those. Oh, okay, we've got one more.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we do have one more. Hold on. I want to make sure that these are... You see that I got, like, a bunch of Florida Sue's game platform. Oh, we do have some stuff over here. But we already have that.
Well, we can get that next time.
We can, yeah.
We've got game time coming up.
Yeah. All right, just give me a minute. Let's see. Most men. Okay, people are cheating. AI could be okay. We'll go with that. We're going to do this one. This is the last one we're going to do. Woman made a ton of men mad with her math lesson on mom libido. Houston mom, Maddie Moss, didn't think a little math would spark a full-on internet meltdown. But her viral video breaking down the formula behind her post-baby sex drive has hit a nerve, with a lot of tired moms saying, finally. And a lot of angry men completely missing the point. Hours of sleep plus number of real meals eaten while seated times partner support divided by number of annoying comments he made, number of times touched by children equals mom libido, she says in the clip, before walking through a simple calculation. 8 hours of sleep, 3 meals, a helpful husband, and about 1,000 toddler touches. The conclusion results may vary, she deadpans, but in her case, not a fucking chance. Woman gets It says, Muzz, a talent agent and mom of two toddlers, said her husband Darren had no notes on the formula aside from warning you're gonna piss off a lot of men, and she did. Some of the comments were wild, she told Today. Women flooded her post with support. I just sent this to my husband. Women in STEM minus a million for breastfeeding, what even joked. Forgot to subtract the number of minutes he hides in the bathroom while I handle bedtime. But others called her a trap, accusing her of weaponizing motherhood to avoid sex. Some men suggested she deserved to be cheated on. Others demanded she stop making excuses and meet her husband's needs. Muzz says this pressure to be sexually available isn't just about desire. It's about everything else that comes first. It's not just about snapping back into jeans, she said. It's about snapping back into bed. And most of us are running on fumes. Add in hormonal shifts, overstimulation, the mental load of parenting, and it's not exactly a shock that many moms feel touched out by bedtime. The reality? It's hard to crave intimacy when your body hasn't felt like you own all, like your own all day. Mom's formula isn't scientific, but it resonates because it's honest. And for couples dealing with mismatched libidos, honesty is the way forward. Desire doesn't vanish after kids, it just changes shape. What matters is talking about it without guilt, pressure, or scorekeeping. Because if sex is meant to be about connection, then the conversation around it has to start with understanding. Okay.
Tell her she's tired, just hike that thing up. I'll do the driving, she can relax.
Alright, so I'm not seeing, like, this stuff here is kind of old, but it is stuff that we'll cover later. Like, yeah. I don't know why it says 2 hours ago on those, unless that's just really, I don't know. But at any rate, guys, this is the Grim Lord, and we'll see you guys next time with more great articles. I'm out of here.
Later.
Enjoy the decline.